This message, entitled The Flattering Tongue, from Proverbs 26:28, was preached at Winchester Reformed Presbyterian Church in Winchester, Kansas. For more information, visit us at winchesterrp.com. We continue this evening with our series, picking some of the proverbs that speak to the way in which we use our mouths. I have to admit that I've been somewhat surprised myself by this series. I've been very encouraged, but very convicted at what the book of Proverbs says about the use of the tongue. And this Lord's Day, we continue by considering the flattering tongue, the tongue that flatters. And our text this evening will be found in Proverbs chapter 26. I invite you to turn there in your copies of God's Word to Proverbs 26. The verse that we will be focusing on is verse 28. But unlike some of the Proverbs, this is in part of a unit of a few more broader verses. So we will begin reading in verse 22 and read through verse 28. Proverbs chapter 26. Reading verses 22 through 28, please follow along. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. Like the glaze covering an earthen vessel are fervent lips with an evil heart. Whoever hates disguises himself with his lips and harbors deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred be covered with deception, his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and a stone will come back on him who starts it rolling. A lying tongue hates its victim, and a flattering mouth works ruin. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word this evening. Well, some of you this evening may perhaps remember those old stories that you probably read as a child or had read to you, Aesop's fables. And you might recount one of the fables that Aesop apparently told was the fable of the fox and the crow. I wonder tonight if you remember that. That in a very simple way, this fable teaches us of the dangers of flattery. We're told in this fable that there was once a crow, and he found a piece of cheese. And nearby this crow was a fox, who saw the crow pick up the piece of cheese and fly into a high branch and begin to eat it. And the fox thought to himself, well, that piece of cheese, it ought to belong to me. And so as fox are known to be very sly, he goes to the crow. He stands on the ground and he looks up and he begins speaking to the crow. And he says, oh my, look at your glossy feathers. What a beautiful bird you are. And look at your bright eyes. How beautiful you are, O crow. And then the fox, as the fable tells us, says to that crow, surely if your feathers are so glossy and your eyes are so bright, I'll bet your voice surpasses that of every other bird. And the crow naturally begins to caw, to show off its voice. And as it does, the piece of cheese falls out of its mouth onto the ground. The fox takes it. And he looks to the crow and he says, let me give you a piece of advice. Don't trust flatterers. It's a very simple story that conveys what we might call common sense and good advice. That we shouldn't fall prey to the flatterer's tongue. And I open with that fable this evening to say that sometimes it is probably easy for us to want to read the book of Proverbs in that way. To treat the book of Proverbs as we might treat a book of fables that teach us moral lessons. The book of Proverbs has very few explicit references to God. It has very few, if any, references to redemption and salvation from sin. And as such, there are many people who then see the book of Proverbs merely as short, pithy statements of practical advice, common sense observations on life that you could equally get from Aesop's fables or other stories. Sometimes people are tempted to not come to the book of Proverbs and realize that what we have here is categorically different. That what we have here is not just good practical advice for living, but we have divine instruction. And so tonight, at the very beginning, I want to encourage you to approach the book of Proverbs from a different perspective. When Proverbs talks about wisdom, and when Proverbs talks about folly, which is what this whole book is about, wisdom and folly, according to Proverbs itself, the difference between wisdom and the difference between folly is the difference between life and death. That's how serious the book of Proverbs takes itself. And everywhere it is teaching us that the difference between wisdom and folly is the difference between Yahweh and all false gods. It is the difference between truth and error. And it reminds us that you cannot separate these wise sayings from the God of all wisdom. God of all wisdom, who has ultimately revealed his wisdom in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, that Christ has become to us the wisdom of God. And so when we come to Proverbs, we're not just coming to fables, we're not just coming to moralistic sayings, we're not simply coming to good advice on how we can be happy and prosperous in our lives, but rather, what the book of Proverbs does is it brings us into a confrontation. It asks us, in so many words, will I live my life the way that I want to live my life? Or will I subject myself to the wisdom of God? Will I choose the foolishness of this world and the foolishness of sin? Or will I choose the wisdom of Jesus Christ? Or more to our purpose this evening and in our series, the book of Proverbs confronts us and asks the question, will I use my mouth in any way that I want, in a way where God gets no say over the words that I speak, or will I let his wisdom overflow in the words of my tongue? That's the question that Proverbs confronts us with. Will we find ourselves submissive to the wisdom of God in Jesus Christ? Or will we find ourselves rebelling and following the pathway of folly, whose only end is destruction? And tonight I want to emphasize in verse 28 the topic of flattery. The book of Proverbs tells us a lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. I want you to follow me this evening first as I give a definition to flattery. If we're going to understand what the wise king is saying here, we need to define our terms. We need to understand what flattery is according to Scripture. Now, there seems to be an idea among some, I don't know if you've ever confronted them or if you yourself have this idea, that flattery is really any praise or any encouragement or any compliment that we might give to somebody. I remember a number of years ago watching a young person in a sports game, and they performed very well. They did a good job, and I went up to their parents afterwards, and I said, "You know, your child did an excellent job tonight. Congratulations on that." And the parents said, well, yeah, we know that he did a good job, but we don't talk about that." I said, why don't you do that?" "Well, because we don't flatter our children. We don't praise them in that way. We don't compliment them in that way because that would merely be flattery." And I appreciate the sentiments there. As parents, we need to be very objective in the way that we speak of our children, in the way that we praise them, and in the way that we compliment them. Too many parents, especially in our generation, idolize their children. But while I can appreciate that, praising or complimenting or encouraging somebody for their gifts or their abilities or their talents is not a biblical definition or a biblical picture of flattery. Flattery is very different than merely praising somebody. It's very different than complimenting somebody or encouraging somebody. In fact, in Proverbs 27, verse 2, we read, "Let another praise you." There is scriptural warrant. There is such a thing as praising somebody when it is warranted. And so if your children do something, if your friends do something, if your spouse does something, if a member of the church does something that is deserving of praise, then by all means, praise them. Encourage them, compliment them in the gifts that the Lord has given. That's not flattery. Rather, flattery is something a little different. The word itself begins to paint for us a picture of what true flattery is. In the original languages, this word translated flattering, as it's translated in many places in Scripture, it means smooth talk. And those whose mouth speaks smoothly works ruin. The word is sometimes translated as seduction. And a seducing mouth works ruin. Can also be translated slippery. A slippery mouth works ruin. And that begins to paint for us a biblical definition of what the wise king means here when he speaks of flattery. Flattery is praise. It is complimenting somebody when you don't really mean it. It is giving praise to one who does not deserve praise, who has not warranted the compliment. And more often than not, it is said with a hidden agenda, either to help yourself or to harm others. That is a biblical picture of flattery. Not only a biblical picture, but if you look in the dictionary, it's the same definition that we get there. To flatter somebody is to excessively compliment them when we simply don't mean it. And when it is unwarranted. But this evening, I don't want to just end with defining this word with words. Because the book of Proverbs actually gives us a very powerful, if even somewhat grotesque picture, but very realistic of what flattery looks like. And it's found in Proverbs chapter 7. And if you're familiar with the book of Proverbs, you know that chapter 7 is a very graphic chapter. It is a chapter where a father is instructing his young son. And he is encouraging his young son to choose the way of wisdom and to reject folly. And he personifies wisdom and folly as two women. And Lady Wisdom is beckoning for him to follow in her footsteps, but at the same time, Lady Folly is beckoning him to follow her paths. And the picture that the Father paints in Proverbs chapter 7 is that Lady Folly is the forbidden woman. And by forbidden, the proverb means she is an adulteress. And in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 5, the Father tells his son, keep yourself from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, with her flattering words. The Father is warning his son, don't be lulled. Don't be dragged in by her smooth words. Or as he says in verse 21 of chapter 7, her seductive speech. He's saying very graphically, don't fall for her excessive compliments. Don't give in to her insincere praise. Don't give in to her enticing words that are as smooth as oil. Because this adulterous woman, what she is doing is she is flattering you. She is flattering you and she doesn't mean a word of it. In very graphic terms, and this is the word of God, what that father is instructing his son in is saying, don't you understand? This adulterous woman will flatter you all the way to her bed, but don't you know that her pathway is the pathway that leads to hell itself? She will flatter you to the grave. She will flatter you to the depths of Sheol. And he is saying, don't give in for a moment to such smooth words. It is such a graphic depiction of what the author of Proverbs means when he's speaking of flattering, enticing words, insincere compliments, unwarranted praise for a wicked end. But the reality is that flattering is not only that dramatic, is not always that dramatic, is it? That's a picture of flattery and a powerful one. But flattery is something that enters into our everyday conversations. Flattery is something that enters into our talks with our family members, whether it's our husband or wife or our children. Flattery is something that enters in our conversations with friends and with coworkers and with bosses and with other people. And we are so prone to do this, to flatter people about their looks, to flatter people about their intelligence or their wit or their abilities. And tragically, we flatter people in their sins. When in fact, all of it is undue praise. And the reality is you don't really mean it. You are using flattery to mask the truth that resides in your heart. Let me just give you a trite example, and it is trite. But I want you to see how flattery works its way into our everyday lives. About a year after Rachel and I were married, we were invited to somebody's house for dinner. And after dinner, the woman asked us, you know, would you guys like a cup of coffee? And we said, oh, sure, we'll have coffee. And she said, well, we're not coffee drinkers here, but let me go make a pot so that you can have it. And when she brought us our cups of coffee, both Rachel and I could see to the bottom of the cup. Which, if you're drinking coffee, it's not a very good sign. It's not very strong. And as I looked in my cup, not only could I see to the bottom, but there were grains of coffee grounds, floating in the cup. I thought, well, I really need to be polite. I need to drink this cup of coffee. I don't consider myself a coffee snood. But even this was hard for me to swallow. But I began to drink it, and this very kind woman asked me very sincerely, well, how's your cup of coffee? Well, what do you say? Well, I said, oh, this is a great cup of coffee. This is one of the best pots I've ever had. Thank you so much. And it's a trite example, but it's an example of flattery, of disguising the truth under unwarranted praise, to compliment where no compliment is deserved. And the reality is, we do that, I suspect, every single day. We use flattery to mask our envy. We use flattery to save face. We use flattery to promote our own reputations. We use flattery to gain friends. We use flattery to avoid circumstances. We avoid flattery so that we might appear to be somebody we are not. That is a biblical definition of flattery, and it is everywhere condemned in Scripture. So there's the definition. A flattering mouth works ruin. Well, in the second place this evening, let me just speak briefly to the deception of flattery, the deception of it. So we've had a definition. Now I want to focus on the deception of flattery. A couple of weeks ago, you'll remember, we spent our time in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22. And there we were reminded that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Well, flattery is a form of lying. It is a form of deception. And I hope that is easily seen from what I have said so far, but it also bears in what we call the parallelism of verse 28. The wise king is expressing something in two ways, in parallel terms, and in verse 28 he says, a lying tongue hates its victim, and a flattering mouth works ruin. At the heart of flattery is deception. At the heart of flattery is deceit. And the real tragedy of it is that it reveals what we might call a divided or double heart. The psalmist emphasizes this in the 12th Psalm. In Psalm 12, verse 2, the psalmist says, everyone utters lies to his neighbor with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. Now, what is a double heart? Well, literally, Psalm 12 reads, with a heart of a heart they speak. What the psalmist means there is that those who flatter are speaking from a double heart. They are saying one thing when they mean another. They are saying one thing, but the words that they are speaking do not reflect the faithfulness in their heart. They're not speaking those words truthfully or faithfully. And you see, this is what makes flattery so sinful, is that hidden under flattering words is a deceptive heart. That flattering words disguise themselves in praise, when our intent and our meaning is not the same as the words that we speak. It was once said, and I think this is a good depiction of it, a flatterer is a beast that bites while it smiles. It is a beast that bites while it smiles. Flattery pretends to do good and to mean well, but the intent is all wrong. In Proverbs chapter 26, verse 23, just a few verses before ours this evening, we read, like the glaze covering an earthen vessel are fervent lips with an evil heart. They appear nice. The words appear to praise and to compliment, but they conceal the truth that is hidden in our hearts. And brothers and sisters, we need to remember this. We need to remember this in a day and in the midst of many temptations where so many of us want to live by appearances. We want people to esteem us. We want people to like us. We want people to think well of us. And so often our sincerity is only skin deep. Too often we are more concerned with looking and sounding and appearing right than actually being so. And that exposes itself in our words when we go around and we flatter people, when we speak smooth words, when we speak slippery words, when we speak seductive words to conceal what is really, truly going on in our hearts. And that's what makes it sinful. What makes flattery so sinful is that it does not offer grace to those who hear. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4? In every word that you speak, let your words offer grace to those who hear. But flattery does not offer grace. It offers manipulation. It does not offer grace. It offers pretense. It does not offer grace. It offers self-promotion. And in so doing, it contradicts the very character and nature of Christian love. And that's the sustained point in these verses. Look at the way that the wise king says this. In verse 24, whoever hates disguises himself with his lips and harbors deceit in his heart. In verse 26, though his hatred be covered with deception, his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. In verse 28, a lying tongue hates its victims. You see, that's what flattery is. That's what flattery does. It is an act of deception. Flattery in all shapes and sizes, from the seeming most innocent, from complimenting somebody on a terrible cup of coffee, to seducing somebody as the adulterous woman does, flattery deceives with a double heart. And that's the root of flattery's sin. It is deception. Well, finally, this evening, as the verse indicates, let me also preach on the destruction that flattery works. The destruction. Look how the wise king words this in verse 28. A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. It works ruin. And it works ruin always in two ways. The first is that flattery works ruin on the one who flatters. It's a colorful picture of that in verse 27, isn't there? The wise king says, whoever digs a pit will fall into it. This is in the context of the words that we speak. This is in the context of lying and flattery. And the wise king is saying, if you begin to dig that pit, if you go on flattering people, guess what? You're going to fall into that pit. And he adds, and a stone will come back on him who starts it rolling. It will roll back on you. And the point here is that when you flatter, your flattery eventually is going to catch up with you, and it's going to work itself upon you, and it will never, never, never leave you unscathed. It works ruin in your own life. The psalmist prayed in Psalm 12, and this is graphic and it is gruesome, but it is part of the praises of Israel. In Psalm chapter 12, verse 3, the psalmist prays, may the Lord cut off all flattering lips. It's a graphic picture of the way in which we should regard the lips that flatter. The psalmist is saying, oh, may the Lord cut them off. If you don't think your words matter, they do. And your flattery will work ruin in your own life. But flattering will also work ruin upon the one you flatter. In Proverbs chapter 29, just a few chapters over, verse 5, we read that a man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. that when you go around flattering people and you are speaking in pretense and you are disguising and masking the hatred in your heart, you are not only bringing yourself to ruin, but you are catching others in your web of deceit. You are spreading a net for their feet that they might be tripped over. And we need to begin to think of this. To think how truly dangerous it is to flatter people, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your children, whether it's your friends, that you are setting a snare for them. And so rightly was it once said that a flatterer is the most dangerous enemy we can ever have. And we need to have this perspective. Brothers and sisters, flattery works ruin. A flattering mouth works ruin. This is a principle of wisdom. I want to remind you this evening in closing, and I don't want to my left hand, so to speak, to take away what my right hand has offered. But the book of Proverbs confronts us in our sin. It highlights, it magnifies for us the reality of sin in our lives, and especially as we've been seeing in the words that we speak. Do you know that the average person speaks 15 to 20,000 words a day? 15 to 20,000 opportunities to sin with our tongues. But I want to remind you, even as we are confronted by this, that this is precisely why we need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need a Savior who is able to deal with our sins, even the sins of our lips. And we need to pray, O Lord, here are my sinful words. Touch my lips with your coal, because I am a person of unclean lips. And let me speak your praise and your grace and your wisdom. It is the prayer of every Christian. But we are reminded tonight, a flattering mouth works ruin. Let's pray. Lord, we so desire to have mouths that are brought under your lordship, to have tongues that are submissive to you in everything that we say. And yet, Lord, we readily confess our own weakness, that not only are our hearts full of lies and deception, but our mouths so often speak words in keeping with those sins. And so tonight we plead again for the forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ. We come freely confessing our sins, and we plead with the Holy Spirit that you would tune our tongues to sing your praise, to speak words that edify and build up. Guard our mouths from flattery in the days to come, that you might be praised and worshipped. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.